Call on the Name of Jesus, March 7, 2014, by Ernie Noll. Please note, just as in the If You Love Me dream, at the beginning of this dream, an evil angel tries to deceive me by sharing truth mixed with error. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Joel 2:32. In my dream, I am walking along a path that has trees on each side. I can tell it is a well-traveled path because the dirt is smooth. A cool breeze is blowing. As I walk, I suddenly notice the herald and several large guard angels just above me. They slowly descend and stop in front of me. The herald addresses me with my heavenly name and reveals that he has been sent with a message that I am to share when instructed. He says that the Heavenly Father is allowing me to observe what he is to show me. I am to know that if I remain faithful, heavenly angels will protect me. The herald places his hands on my shoulders, repeats my heavenly name, and says, "If at any time you need to, stop walking. Then simply call out the most precious name in the universe, Jesus." He reminds me that I'm a messenger just as he is a messenger. Who we are is not important. The only name that is worthy to be spoken is Jesus, the most beautiful name in the universe. He says, "Remember, if at any time you need to, stop and call out the name of Jesus." Psalm 50, verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." The herald and the guard angels are now a very short distance behind me. As I begin walking, I notice several angels slowly descend in front of me. I look behind me at the guard angels and notice that together they raise their shields and swords, which shine with an iridescent light, as if alive with energy. Looking as if they are prepared to battle, the guard angels walk several steps forward and in front of the herald. I look back at the angels who descended in front of me. They are very bright, and many of them also have shields and swords. Without raising them, they walk peacefully toward me. One of the angels smiles at me, just like the herald. He is taller and more noble-looking than the other angels. When he starts talking to me, I immediately realize that he is an evil angel. As I continue walking, he walks next to me and says, "Brother of Jesus, I bring you greetings of love from Jesus, the one whose name is spoken of most often, and whose name rings throughout the Father's universe." He smiles continually, and I keep walking. The angel continues, "You have been told that Jesus is always with you. You have been told that all you have to do is call upon his name." These are most comforting words. It is good to know that all one has to do is call upon the name of Jesus, and that he will be right there with you. You know, if he wanted to, he could call upon thousands of legions of angels all just for you. It has to be a wonderful feeling to know that. Of all the brothers he has on the earth, he would do that just for you. You are very special in his eyes. You know, our Father who sits upon his sacred throne in heaven calls you Elijah and John the Baptist. You know, he holds you in his hand in a very special way. You know, you are his very special messenger, just like so many others who have served and, of course, died. There have been other messengers who have lived in privation and poverty, but he has cared and provided abundantly for your needs. This evil angel again addresses me by saying, "Brother of Jesus, it is good to know that Jesus has said he will forgive all your sins." As we continue, this angel slowly starts reminding me of my life. He reminds me of things I did as a child. He reminds me of the things I did as I got older. As I walk along, I begin thinking of all the things I did. Once in a while, the angel reminds me about how unworthy I am that Jesus would even bother to call me his brother. As I listen to the angel, I begin to feel very unworthy. I begin to remember the many things I did and the depths that I have fallen into sin. I feel that I am such a sinner. I feel that I am so unworthy, so worthless, so undeserving, and that I have done things that are so much worse than others. As the evil angel takes my left hand, he says that I should not feel bad, because all have sinned. He tells me that no one is perfect, and that everyone continues to make mistakes. He says that no one can walk sinless, and that everyone knows it is impossible to keep God's laws. The angel smiles and tells me that it is good to know that all we need to do is ask forgiveness from the Father, and he will always forgive us. He goes on to say that the Father is waiting on his throne for us to simply ask, and he will forgive us. He tells me that the Father is all-loving and all-forgiving, and that we will always be forgiven because that is the Father's nature. I look up to the evil angel and say, "But it is important to ask these things in the name of Jesus." He smiles and tells me, "Although many like to mention the name of Jesus, the Father is always waiting for each to ask so they may be forgiven." When Jesus came to this earth, he was not exactly like you. He did not have the propensity to sin. You know, Jesus was made to have flesh and bones like you. He bled when cut. He cried when in pain. But unlike you, he was unable to sin. Because Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge, you also have the complete fallen nature of Adam. But Jesus, well, he came to this earth as a human, but he also came with his princely powers. That is why he did not have the propensity to sin. When you think about it, we know he healed blind people and those who were not able to walk. He raised people from the dead and turned water into juice. He even walked on water and many other things that no true brother or sister of Adam and Eve could ever do. Holding my left hand, he smiles and asks, "When is the last time you gave sight to a blind person, turned water into juice, or walked upon water?" Jesus came as a human, but he used powers that humans do not have. As this angel and I walk along, he continues to remind me of all my sins. He says that along with all the sins I have committed, I will continue to sin because I do not have the advantage that Jesus had. He tells me that I will end up just like all the other messengers before me, not caught up in the air to meet Jesus, but rather caught in the ground. Once again, he reviews all my sins and goes over each one. Then he begins mentioning things that I never did. He smiles at me and reminds me that it is written that if you break one of his commandments, you break them all. But I am thinking to myself that I did not do all the things he mentioned, and that I do not need to repent for things I never did. However, after hearing all that the angel shared for me, I feel there is no way I can ever be sinless. I begin thinking about the seriousness of all the things I have done, and that indeed if we break one of his commandments, we break them all. More and more I feel so unworthy, as if I lived each day without having all my sins forgiven. Then I begin to feel overwhelmed with the thought that I have sinned too much, and that with all the things I have done, surely God could never forgive me. I feel that I am a terrible sinner and that I am lost. I feel lost forever, a lowly, powerless human compared with what Jesus possessed. I begin to cry and feel that all I do is completely in vain. I feel such a depth of pity for myself. Suddenly, a sensation comes over me that feels like I am enveloped in a shower of fresh, warm water, and at the same time as if a warm blanket surrounded me. The Holy Spirit has reminded me about what the herald said just before he and his angels took up their positions behind me. Remember, if at any time you need to, stop and call out the name of Jesus. With those words in my mind, I stop walking and call out loudly, "Jesus!" I seem to know that his name echoes throughout the never-ending universe. It is instantly heard by all the holy beings in the universe, and they also call out the name of Jesus on my behalf. I am now secure because my mind is instantly cleared of all the thoughts that the evil angel filled it with. All of a sudden, the sky looks as though it is ripped apart, and I see Jesus descend immediately with thousands upon thousands and thousands of legions of angels. It is as if all heaven and every angel across the endless universe were instantly here. At the simple calling of his name, that most precious name in the universe, Jesus. Jesus immediately comes and takes my right hand, while the evil angel who held my left hand and all his angels quickly depart. I notice that the brightness of Jesus is hard for them to endure, and his wonderful name is painful for them to hear. They cannot tolerate remaining in his presence. As Jesus and I walk together on a path, the herald and his angels walk behind us. I notice the guard angels lower their swords and shields. Many angels now fly overhead and sing softly. I notice that the path around the feet of Jesus and far behind us becomes a living carpet of green grass. Along the path, flowering trees are alive with fragrance. A vast assortment of flowers lines each side of the path. Different butterflies and songbirds surround us. I now feel a very comforting, warm breeze. I look up into the eyes of Jesus and still see the love of the love of the love, a love that has no end. Just as the universe has no end, there is no end to the love I see in the eyes of Jesus, my brother, my Savior, my Creator, Jesus, the most precious name in the universe. That name is spoken by all the unfallen beings and resounds throughout the universe. Jesus tells me that it is important for all to approach and kneel at the Heavenly Father's throne. In order to be forgiven, we have been instructed to ask for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. As Jeremiah 31 verse 34 tells us, when the Father forgives, he chooses to no longer remember the sin. Jesus holds out his right arm and all stop. Everything becomes quiet, and his voice is the only sound I hear. He points to a scene which I recall is his crucifixion. He explains that it was at the cross that he loosed the hold Satan has on many. It was through his sacrifice that each can come to the Father and through his name be forgiven. Jesus lowers his arm, and we begin to walk again. Still holding my right hand, Jesus stops, turns, and looks at me. He explains that the sins I was shown did not just apply to me, but represented the sins of everyone. All are to know that everyone has been deceived in some way. Jesus stresses that while there is still time, we are to approach the Heavenly Father in reverent prayer and ask for the forgiveness of sins. He tells me to share that the angel is now numbering the 144,000 upon their foreheads. Revelation 14:1 says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads." Soon the last person in this group will have stopped sinning and will have been numbered. When that number is complete, probation for everyone on earth will have ended. Jesus will have finished serving as our high priest and advocate, and the 144,000 will be ready for translation. Jesus shares that since he did not have the propensity to sin when he came to this earth, that there are those who teach that he had an advantage over us. It is also taught that he used his full powers on his own. Jesus says that it needs to be understood that he was born as our brother. At birth, he had every human quality that Adam and Eve had after they sinned in the Garden of Eden. Jesus explains that he did not use his own powers to turn water into juice, walk on water, heal the blind, the deaf, the lame, the lepers, and give life back to those who died. He asked for help from his Heavenly Father, just as we can. Jesus further explains that he could have sinned, but it was through his Father that he chose not to sin. Next, Jesus reveals that after he was born, he crawled, fell, tripped, and skinned his knees. He laughed, cried, worked, played, and became sick, not because of breaking the health laws, but due to living in a sinful world. Jesus lived each day through the guidance of his Father. He experienced all our sadness and suffering without sinning. He proved that we can do the same, even if we are sick or in pain. We do not have to sin. Those who pick up their cross and follow Jesus can approach the Heavenly Father and ask that their sins be forgiven. It is then that each can decide to resist temptation, no longer sin, and to live each day allowing God to guide their steps. Each can walk a path that is not filled with sin. Each can have a life that is free from sin. There are those who will walk that walk, and there is a marking angel who will number each of them. When that angel has numbered the last person, he will close his inkhorn and return to Jesus and the Heavenly Father. He will report that he found and numbered the ones who no longer sin. The Father will tell Jesus that those numbered, the 144,000, are a witness to the universe that there are those who are sinless like Jesus was. Jesus assures me that this number, these who are they, will pray to the Father as he did, and some will perform miracles as he did. The 144,000 will laugh, cry, work, play, and they will become sick, not because of breaking the health laws, but due to living in a sinful world. through the Father, a number of them will heal, provide food from heaven, and perform other miracles. With a propensity to sin, they will choose not to sin, just as Jesus chose not to sin without having the propensity. The Heavenly Father will say of them, "When I see you, I see my Son, and when I see my Son, I see you." As Jesus and I stand talking together, I tell him that I would like to understand in what ways he was like us when he came to this earth. Now that he is in the most holy place, how is it that he knows all things, since he gave up all his powers when he came to earth? How can he hear his name being called in prayer? Jesus explains that when he came to this earth, he gave up his powers and was as human as we are. Before returning to heaven, he promised to send the Holy Spirit to be with us. Even now that Jesus is in heaven, he still does not have his own powers. However, because of his relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit, they allow him to be omniscient, to know everything. Through the Father and the Holy Spirit, Jesus knows everything. When we pray, Jesus is allowed to know what the Holy Spirit sees and hears on this earth. So, when a child prays to Jesus, or when we call on the name of Jesus for help, he always sees and hears us through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus performed miracles, such as feeding the 5,000, changing water into grape juice, healing people and walking on water, he did not do it on his own. God allowed it. Jesus was able to do every miracle only through the will and power of his Heavenly Father. So that I can better understand, Jesus tells me that he will show me in this dream what it is like to be omnipresent, everywhere simultaneously. However, I will not be allowed to actually have that power. Even though I am standing there with Jesus, instantly and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I am on three different planets. It is difficult to grasp how I can be fully aware, mentally and physically, of everything that I experience on those planets, yet still be able to talk with Jesus. On the first planet, I walk and talk with beings that Jesus and the Father created, but I am unable to tell how long I am with them. This planet has a large variety of animals, including fish and birds. At the same time, I am on a second planet where there are no animals or created beings, only plant life. As I walk, I smell the wonderful scents of the various plants and flowers. I feel the wonderful texture of the carpet of grass under my feet and notice its constant fresh aroma. I do not have adequate words to describe the scene around me. Simultaneously, I find myself jumping from rock to rock as I descend down the side of a beautiful waterfall. I feel the texture of the smooth rocks under my feet, as well as a misty breeze. At the same time, I swim underwater and observe a vast assortment of colorful fish. While I think about the many colorful birds in the air, there is vivid color everywhere. Simultaneously, I fly along the side of majestic grass-covered mountains and waterfalls. I fly past large ponds, valleys, and flower-filled meadows. On this planet, and all at the same time, I walk, jump, fly, and swim. Yet I am also still on the first planet, talking with the created beings, and I am also fully aware that I am having a conversation with Jesus. At the same time, I also visit a third planet and know that it is the sixth day because there is plant and animal life with beings about to be created. I have the privilege of being the first one there. While there, I can walk, run, jump, fly, swim, and explore for as long as I wish beyond that creation week. Of all the animals there, the most interesting to me is one that resembles a very large, rectangular-shaped manta ray without a tail. It is covered with long, flowing fur that sparkles in the sunlight. As this beautiful animal moves, its fur illuminates its constantly changing colors. It quickly glides lengthwise as it eats grass, leaving it all the same height. Because it perfectly assimilates what it eats, it leaves a beautifully manicured lawn with no waste. While on this third planet, I am also on the other two, and at the same time, Jesus is explaining to me that planets and perfect beings will be created continually forever. Throughout eternity, the saved will travel the galaxies and teach newly created beings about Jesus. Just as God is eternal, the universe has no end. He is the Creator, therefore He will continue to create forever. Jesus continues to explain that the number of planets which exist in the universe can be compared to the grains of sand on all the beaches and in every ocean and sea on earth. We cannot count them. Only a God-sized handful of the planets that have been created are inhabited. Their inhabitants look forward to each time when God, as the eternal creator, creates another planet, each different from the others. Revelation 4:11 tells us, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." How important it is to strive now to be one of the 144,000. What an honor they will have to travel and share about Jesus with newly created beings, telling them what He did for us and them while on earth. Instantly, I am standing once again with Jesus. He hugs me and says that He waits for us to call on His name so that He can lift us back up, wipe the filth from us, and dress us in His robe. When we call on His name, it is repeated throughout the universe. Next, Jesus and His angels ascend. The herald comes forward and takes my right hand. He smiles and says that Jesus serves as our brother. He reveals that when Jesus was being tried and crucified, the angels watched and waited for Him to call on them for help. If He had called just one time, they would have been there. However, Jesus chose not to. He walked each day as we can, with our Heavenly Father's help. The herald says to continue upon the path that Jesus has laid out for me. As I look ahead, I tell the herald that from where I stand, I do not see any green grass or flowers, like there are behind me. The herald reminds me that Jesus has said He will walk with each of us. However, we must each always hold on to the Savior's hand. If we let go, the path will be a dirt path. As long as we hold on to His hand, the path will be a path of living green. I tell the herald that I know I am holding the hand of Jesus, but that the path before me is a dirt path. Saying my heavenly name, the herald smiles patiently and says, "Simply take a step." When I take a step, the path under my foot becomes a living carpet of green grass. Flowering trees are alive with fragrance. A vast assortment of flowers lines each side of the path. Different butterflies and songbirds surround us. I take another step, and again I see a living carpet of green grass. I now feel a very comforting warm breeze. With each step I take, a green path continues to appear. The herald says that if we continue to hold the hand of Jesus, the Father will allow us to remain on the living path. If we let go of that beautiful hand, we will walk on a path of dirt, and in time that path will be enveloped in darkness. The herald tells me that the living path may seem rough and hard to walk on. Sometimes there will be many logs in the path that we must climb over. But if we look closely, they are not logs, but simply toothpicks. There are no boulders, but simply pebbles. As long as we stay on the path God has chosen for us, He will never allow anything that He knows we cannot handle. The herald tells me to stay on the living path, to seek and strive to be one of the 144,000 who receive a number.